Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Super Carlin Brothers is sponsored by Nude. Y'all, of course, know about my podcasting and YouTube endeavors, and you may even know that I do some aquarium maintenance at times, but you may not be aware that my wife, Alice, and I also own a business together called Nude. I know it's a funny name, but there's actually a fun story behind it. See, Alice has always had a deep love for clothing and fashion, but even more so for thrifting. It was her way to sustainably and economically expand her wardrobe while still aiming for quality brands that would last. And she is really good at it. Like, I can't tell you the number of times over the years that she has been stopped by people admiring her finds. So much so that she coined a phrase for her response. Thanks, it's nude. As in new, but in the past tense, because it's not exactly new, it's nude. So, we took this concept and created a storefront not 100 yards from where Super Carlin Brothers was created and have an online shop featuring pre-loved clothing from brands like Lululemon, Free People, Anthropologie, Madewell, and so many more. If you'd like to check it out for yourself to ring in the nude year, if you will, you can do so at nudesalem.com and use promo code SUPER to get 20% off your entire order. That's NEWDSalem.com, promo code SUPER for 20% off.
Hey, you know what goes in cups?
Ducks.
Ducks go in cups and in popcorn buckets.
And in popcorn buckets.
We have our brand new Pop Pop Duck Duck.
Yes, the new Pop Pop Duck Duck t-shirt is now available at carlinbrothersmercantile.com, and it is significant because if you're like a Patreon member, you've gotten your Pop Pop hoodie. You know, you've got a Pop Pop sweatshirt coming your way.
Yeah.
But if you're not a patron, we have had precious few merch opportunities for the Little Colonels.
We have. It's a disservice.
It is a big disservice. We've got like a single t-shirt that just has the logo on it, which is, you know, it's a fine t-shirt.
It's a fine t-shirt.
But this is the Pop Pop Duck Duck t-shirt.
It's an excellent, excellent shirt.
It is. Yeah. It features a duck coming out of a popcorn bucket. It is a green shirt. It is lovely, lovely.
It is. And my favorite part is the fact that the green mallard's head is filled in by the color of the green shirt.
Exactly.
Yeah. We saved on ink.
We did. And it's environmentally friendly, maybe.
Maybe. Check it out. CarlinBrothersMercantile.com.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal.
He was looking for a ham sandwich.
Auto lock never.
It's not the right number of syllables. You're looking for a soul to steal, all one syllables.
A soul
he
to
was
steal.
Looking for a dun da da. A thing. You really just need two.
A pet
blank
rock
to steal.
A pet rock to have.
He was looking for a rock steal. Or he actually could be anything. Yeah, he was looking for a rock to have. He was out rock looking.
Looking for rocks.
Next,
really good rocks.
Next time you out spider looking. Come on down to Thaddeus J. Spiders.
You know how there's bird watchers?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if there were spider watchers?
No, someone is out there like, I'm looking for spiders.
Someone is an enthusiast.
Someone has done it. How else are they cataloging new spiders?
I know. I mean, it has to be done. So someone has to do the work, and I'm glad that somebody is enthusiastic about it, but it still seems remarkable.
It feels like if you want to be the guy who gets the name a new species of a thing, spiders is a great field to get into, because how many people are out there looking for new spiders? They're like, you know what I'd like more time with? Spiders.
Spiders.
Right.
You want to know what I think is weird?
What?
Is that like squirrels have like large fluffy tails, uh-huh, which kind of make them like a little bit like adorable, and we like to like watch them like, you know, run across like trees and phone lines and such like that.
Yeah.
But can you imagine if they didn't have that big fluffy tail and what we were just witnessing was like very large sized like rats jumping from the ground, yeah, into a tree.
That's exactly what they'd be.
It would be so spoopy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's basically what they are.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. But they don't seem that way.
No, they don't, because of that fluffy tail.
They got fluffy tail.
That's what their evolutionary advantage is. They're like, we cute.
But for real.
I know.
Like, I mean, it seems like it would be like a much bigger problem if they weren't.
Yeah, people wouldn't like them as much. Hmm. If squirrels weren't cute, they'd be like, I don't think they'd probably just be gone. You know?
People would be like, nope.
People like, I don't think so.
Not on my power lines.
Not on my power lines.
Anyway.
No way.
Good for squirrels.
Yeah.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin, and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Yeah, Ben, okay, question for you.
All right, answer for you.
Why can't you hear a pterodactyl going to the bathroom?
Because the pee is silent.
The pee is silent!
You know, I wish it was silent in my head, but I pronounce it pterodactyl every single time.
Yeah. Okay, wait, hold on, I can do it again. Are you ready?
Yeah, lay it on me.
Hey, Ben, why can't you hear a pterodactyl going to the bathroom? Because they've been extinct for 65 million years. Oh! Got him.
Yes. That was good.
Thank you.
I know. I was like, I my hands are tied.
I know. Like, wait a minute. Is there another reason you can't hear them?
Right.
Turns out.
Wow. Excellent. Wow. A good way to start the day.
You know, it's been a while since we had like a corny joke. I was like, we're bringing it back.
It feels like today's going to be a day full of whimsy.
It might be.
I've got it. I've got like kind of like energy in my bones. I had to, you know how sometimes after you do something like scary, you almost feel like such a massive sense of relief that you get in this like overwhelmingly like bubbly mood.
I do. Yes.
I remember this happened on tour after our first show. I was like, I could like punch the sky literally right now if I wanted to,
because
I was so nervous.
Yeah.
And then it was like over and people were happy and I was like, it worked. And I was, oh man, it was the best feeling ever. But this morning I had to go to the dentist.
Oh, one of my least favorite appointments.
I know. And honestly, I am one of those people who has like the teeth falling out dreams, which is probably because like I was in like a healthy stint of, you know, doing like my every like, you know, 6 month appointments or whatever. Like I was extremely regular for a very long time with going and having my teeth looked after.
Yeah.
And I think like the older I was getting, they would start to be like, yeah, your gums are maybe like, you know, they could maybe use like a little bit of like work or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I think like, you know, we had Addie or something happened, like, you know, something came in and I stopped going on my regular appointments, and more time had passed. And I was just quietly growing more and more anxious going back.
Yeah.
And then the longer it had been, the worse I didn't want to go.
Exactly. You're like, there's no, at this point, like when I was going, they were like, maybe things are getting a little worse. And now it's been a long time since I went.
Yes. They're going to be like, how much worse are they going to be?
I know, right? This is going to turn out I don't even have teeth.
I know. That's the thing. I'm like, they don't hurt, you know? Like, yeah, I mean, you know? It's like, I feel okay. My body would tell me, right?
Right. So like, what's the word? Did you get like, do you have like nothing but cavities and 7 root canals?
Or? No. None of, I have a filling that I think I got like 15 years ago that had like a dent in it or something. Mm. And they were like, we should probably just like take that one out and put a new one in. And so I was like, okay, that sounds good. But otherwise, I mean, just basic, like went, you know, got my x-rays, and like that was like the only like major thing. I mean, they were still like, you know, you should floss more. And I was like, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. I'm sure they say that to literally everyone.
Literally everybody. Although I could not help but look at the hygienist who I was working with. I could not help but like look at her, like how perfect her teeth were.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, you follow all of your advice, don't you?
I mean, if you're a hygienist, I think you have to, or else like why is someone going to listen to you?
That's the thing though, is that like, you know, we've talked in the past about like watching like The Bachelor or Bachelorette, like the dating shows and stuff. And invariably, like, you know, every other season there will be somebody who is either dentist or dental hygienist, like as one of the people. Mm-hmm. And they're always like, let me see your teeth. Like, open up. I want to like, you know, how are you? And I'm like, dude, I would crap my pants like right in the moment. I'd be like, no, that's not necessary. We don't need to do that. Right now, you brought your kit, did you? Okay, well,
great.
Here, yeah. So anyway, and now, I mean, I'm married happily, so I don't think that the day where I will be on The Bachelor will ever come up. But in the event that is ever for some bizarro reason in the pipeline, I'm gonna need like major like lead time, so I can, you know, make sure that everything is just in case. Because
I feel like they could, you could like set some terms as The Bachelor.
Oh, you think you're allowed to be like, hey,
like, look, I know you guys do a bunch of like night one stunts, but like seriously, no teeth things.
No teeth stuff.
Like no teeth stuff. That person is out. Like they are out.
It just gives me the shivers. That's all. It's really not that I even have that like many problems. I just think I have like anxiety attached to my teeth.
So were you like in the dating pool? Like, would your whatchamacallit, like your Tinder profile be like no dental hygienists?
No way. No, I don't think that would be, I don't think it would actually be like that big of an issue. I think it's something that for no reason, I think I would be like self-conscious about.
I got it.
You know,
you're an anti-dentite. Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
That's mm-hmm. this is
loud and clear, bro.
Wouldn't it be hysterical if like 97% of the little colonels out there are like begrudgingly accepting the title of little colonel because they're like, we never eat popcorn. It's stuck in your teeth for eternity.
Oh no one's like that. Everyone loves popcorn. It's like nature's perfect snack.
It really
except
is.
Except for how it gets stuck in your teeth.
Except for that part. Yeah. But in all other ways, completely faultless.
I've been having not like sometimes like. In the last 6 months, this happened to me twice, where something like what feels like must be microscopic will get stuck between like two of my molars, and like a day later it'll be like, why does it hurt so bad? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got a massive cavity. It's terrible. What do I do? I'm gonna have to go to the dentist. They're gonna give me bad news. I hate it. And then I'll just go like floss twice and it'll like resolve itself over the next 24 hours. Like the soreness will just go down and be like, oh man. I don't even know what it was. It was so small, but it's just creating just enough like wedge.
Yes. Dude, this exact thing happened to me once with a peppercorn.
Oh.
And yeah, I feel like we had like one of these like salamis that comes like coated, you know, like the exterior is all like peppers and stuff. Not peppers like
bell peppers.
Not like bell peppers.
Like salt and pepper.
Like salt and pepper. Yeah. And yeah, I remember the exact same thing for days. I was like, man, my tooth is like, it's kind of hurting a little bit. And then I think I was in the office and I like started like coughing because all of a sudden I got like injected with this huge pepper flavor and I was like, it's been like 3 days.
Oh gosh.
Like how was it in there still? It's like I've brushed my teeth like 7 times since then.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mouths are weird.
Mouths are weird.
Mouths are weird sometimes.
So anyway, but I feel like I'm in a giddy mood because I woke up this morning and it was like, Alice kept being like, are you okay? Are you nervous? And I was like, I'm fine. No big deal. Why would I be worried?
Why are you asking?
I'm like, Allie, why would I be worried?
You've just been brushing your teeth for like 30 minutes. So I don't know.
It's like there's no toothpaste left.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I went in though, and it was kind of like one of those things where like I sat in the chair and she was like, you know, what do you do for work? And I was like, I don't want to tell you because I don't want you to be able to find me. Nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got through and I mean, it wasn't like there was no work to be done. Like I had to have like a follow-up appointment or whatever, but it was still kind of like, okay. Good to know my face isn't about to like fall off of itself.
Right.
So
yeah. All right. Well, good stuff.
That's all. I'm in a great mood.
You did it. You conquered your fear.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yes, indeed. So how's your day been? It's Monday.
So, you know, there's that. Not always the best day of the week, but I would say honestly going pretty good. Really. You know, I had a very, very good weekend.
You did. What'd you do?
You know, all sorts of stuff, Ben, all sorts of stuff. Let's see. So Saturday, the big event was that we were going to the Virginia Tech football game against Clemson.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. So me and you and Tyler and Dad like all met up at Dad's house and we drove up together and we got a box of Bojangles chicken.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
The tailgate package.
I saw this in your notes, so I'm gonna like lead you into it because I felt exactly the same way.
Yeah.
But back in the early days, there was a huge like rite of passage that I was like so excited about, which was that like growing up, I had friends who had like season tickets to Virginia Tech football games. And it was the type of thing like where if ever they were like, hey, do you want to go to a game? I'd be like, yes, I always want to go. And so like when we got old enough and like, you know, could like buy season tickets for ourselves, I was like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
Like I am so excited that we are finally able to go and have this be like a part of our life.
Right.
And so like we would go and have like an enormous, well, by comparison to this past weekend, tailgate experience.
Yeah. Well, like, because yes, exactly what I was like. So this past weekend, We stopped at Bojangles. We got like the 20-piece meal for like the four of us or whatever.
Right, right, yeah. Way too much food for four people.
Yeah, way too much food for four people. But, you know, it comes with a couple of half gallons of sweet tea, and we had some beers on the ready, and we were literally tailgating. Like, we set all the stuff on the tailgate of your truck, and that was our table, and we just stood in like a semicircle and enjoyed the food and talked about, you know, college sports and stuff.
Yes.
So it was, you know, still a very good tailgate. But I was like, I was thinking back to it, and I was like, boy, like, We used to go, like, I was trying to think, like, I was thinking back, and I was like, well, there was only four of us. But then I was thinking back to when we used to go tailgating for the season tickets or whatever. And I was like, well, but, like, how many people were there then? I was like, it was still just me and Beth and Ben and the gob.
The guest of Ben.
The guest of Ben. Yeah. And then our friends Ross and Emily. I was like, so there's only really six of us then, right? I was like, were there other people? I was like, no, it was six of us. There was only six of us. And like for the six of us, we would have like a pop-up tent and cornhole boards and a grill. And you would bring a generator. And, you know, Ross and Emily would bring some sort of like potluck dish. And Beth would normally prepare some kind of appetizer. And you would normally have some kind of appetizer. And then we'd get there and we would cook wings. And we would set up tables. And like we would have beers and orange juice. And maybe some kind of like spirits or something. And it was like, there's like, we went so like we could have hosted like 20 people at any given tailgate
easily.
And we, so the what ended up happening was that we would just have the six of us just like having the best time.
Yes, yes.
Because it was like, yeah, we have all of this. It's like it was so. And then I was just thinking yesterday, I was like, man, we used to go really, really hard for the tailgating. Not that there weren't like more impressive ones or anything. And it's like, but like, cause, and then that's the thing. Like, I would, you know, you'd walk around and you'd feel like, man, we're not even like, we're barely even trying over here. Some of these people got like satellites on the top of their car.
Yeah, like TVs and, yeah, you know, all sorts of like crazy stuff.
They got three tents set up. They got 15 people around that car or whatever.
Right.
And it was always like, well, you know, but like, you know, we're doing pretty good. We got like, you know, I think it's a serviceable tailgate, you know, nothing to scoff at or anything. But now I'm looking back, I was like, those were awesome tailgates.
I think there was more than one occasion where I would put my actual, like, not even like a tailgate grill, like my actual physical grill, I would like strap into the back of the truck and like bring with me with a full-blown propane tank and everything. Goodness gracious.
Yeah
we would go so aggressively hard. So all week last week, I felt like every single day was one of those days where it was like, had my work day and like after work plans, and so it was kind of like day after day after day after day after day, I kept being like, when am I gonna go and start like putting together all of the necessary like essentials that I need in order to make this tailgate happen? And like by the time I woke up on Saturday morning, it had already been like dad had sent out like a group text and was like, what's the plan for today? And I had been like 45 minutes prior to me waking up, and I'm like, I gotta call it. I can't do it.
I gotta
like,
call it.
There's no way in the world I can mobilize what I used to do in the next like 2 hours before, right, I need to go and pick everybody up. So at that point in time, my grand ambition became try to go and see if I can do like a drive-through car wash, because my like truck was like covered in like dirt and stuff. And I was like, then I can use the free vacuums and get like all the detritus that accumulates around a car seat.
Oh yeah.
You know,
oh,
taken care of.
All the goldfish.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right. That way at least like when we go and pick everybody up, I will have like, we'll have a clean car if literally nothing else.
Oh.
I even tried to order the Bojangles ahead, and our Bojangles isn't available on the app, and I was like, wow, that didn't work out. I pull up at the car wash place, the line is 40 cars long.
Oh my god.
I was like, that's out too.
That's
I was like, the only thing, I mean, other than purchasing tickets and a parking pass, the only my last ditch Hail Mary effort in trying to provide a pleasant experience for everybody was to wash and vacuum my car. And it was like,
so, well, you brought a cooler of brewski beers.
I you're right.
Yeah.
I did bring a cooler of brewski beers.
So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? They were good.
They were good.
They were good.
It got the job done.
It got the job done. What do you really need tailgating, you know?
It's really just all about being there.
It is.
I think
yes.
is what it comes down what it comes to. Down to. And I think even back in the day, it's like you probably were killing yourself a little bit in the name of trying to have this like over the top tailgate.
Oh, I know. Cause it was like, I think we would bring like not just cornhole, which those are the boards you had made, and because they were made out of just like lumber. I mean, they were like really nice, but they were also like
heavy. Yeah.
Very heavy. And then we'd bring that and giant Jenga, consequently also made out of lumber.
Yes.
They're two extremely hard, like heavy games that was like, I don't even know if we like even often played either or both of them.
No, I don't know that we did. I think it was almost like vibes. It's, you know, like
but you had the cornhole board.
You set up the cornhole board so that people know like that you're that kind of group.
Right, yeah. We're having fun, right? We got cornhole over
here. Right, yeah. Yeah, of course. It even seemed like cornhole back then though was like more in vogue. Like I don't know if I like see cornhole as much as I used to.
There was a bunch of cornhole.
There was cornhole? I've seen it. Yeah, you've seen some cornhole.
Still a lot of cornhole out there.
Okay. Yeah, people aren't letting it go.
People aren't letting it go. It did feel like maybe back then it was like harder to have a cornhole set or something. Like it has become like easier to mass produce it or something.
Maybe so.
It was like caught on a little more.
I did used to like make them and sell them as like a thing.
Right.
Because I invested in the hole itself is a 6-inch hole, and I invested in this like, I mean, as if it's expensive. It's about like a $50 drill bit,
right,
but it is a hole saw, and that is what cuts that perfect circle to 6 inches.
Right.
And it was kind of like, once I did that, I was like, well, now I'm pot invested. I may as well just buy like 50 sheets of plywood and, you know,
keep going.
Yeah, just keep cranking.
It is like
things.
It is a thing that it's like, you will probably never use that attachment for anything else.
No. Yeah. I don't think I will. No. Yeah. That was a one time. Well, one application use is cornholing. Yeah.
Yeah. But, if you're, you know, following along with the Hokies, which why wouldn't you be?
naturally, everybody who listens to the pop has become invested.
Naturally, everyone who listens is all up to date on the 5-5 Hokies who lost to Clemson last weekend. But like it was a losing effort, but it was like it did not detract from the fun of the game really at all.
No, I agree with you completely. Yeah, it really is like such a festive environment. Like there's so much going on and like the one thing that I think that our area does super well because we don't have any other sports teams is we all just funnel into Blacksburg, Virginia for these events. So it's like 70,000 people.
I mean, it was sold out. It
going
was
nuts. Pack. Yes. Yeah. So
yeah, it was really cool. At one point during so let me just tell you, this was also a new part of the experience for me was that being on the college campus and just walking around, the mustache, very popular.
It was. Campus. It
I was
getting
a lot of compliments.
People were like, dude, great mustache. Dude, great mustache.
Love
great
it.
Mustache.
Yeah. Yeah. That was very fun. So that was good. In fact, even when we were just like watching the game, there was another patron, another Hokie fan, as it were, like a few rows in front of us, like down to the left, and he meanders his way over and he like makes eye contact with me and he's got his phone in his hand. He's like, can we take a picture? And he like points to his mustache and I'm like, oh, I got it.
Oh, that's like, I know. It was so good. It was like, you're part of like an exclusive club now.
It was like the Jeep wave, you know?
Yeah. That's exactly it. Yeah,
we're people with mustaches.
Yes.
And so we took the mustache picture and that was really fun. And then I thought that was like sort of the end of it. But no, there was more. There's more to the story, and it like connected in like a couple of weird ways. But so I've talked before about how like this like 2-time, you know, mustache world champion guy will sometimes comment on my mustache on Instagram and
natural
stuff.
Yeah.
Bob and Elliot, his mustache. His mustache is named Elliot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's I could great. Not figure out his username for ever.
Would you ever name your mustache?
I guess it's possible. It's not been like on my agenda.
Right. Well, I mean, we've been talking a lot about your mustache lately because I think that like everyone seems to be kind of coming to the exact same conclusion, which is that like whether or not your personality has always been exactly the same and the mustache like makes it just make more sense.
Yeah.
Or if the confidence of the mustache has like brought like a kind of like whimsical nature out of you, it's unclear.
I don't know
what has happened.
It could be both.
Yeah, but Mustachio J is like, you know, it's either an alter ego or the existing ego like with like salt on it, you know.
That's funny. But so yeah, that guy, Bob and Elliot, his mustache.
Okay, Bob and Elliot, his mustache.
I get a message from him on Instagram and he has taken a screenshot of a Facebook post from the guy who took the mustache picture with me at the game.
Wait, Are you serious?
No. Yes, yes, I'm serious.
So, okay. Now, I am flabbergasted. I did not know this happened. So, yeah. So the man that came up to you during the game and asked to take a photo, he posted the photo.
He posted the photo.
To his Facebook page page?
Yeah, to his Facebook page, yeah.
And the other mustache man saw it.
Saw it.
How small is this community?
I know. I was like, he messaged me and like the picture of me and the other guy, and the picture actually came out really good. I was really like, hey, that's cool. And I was like blown away. I literally was like, do you just know everyone with a mustache?
That's
you
my know? Question. I yeah. Know. Yeah. This guy's like a networking genius or something.
Know. I think Given his like competitive level of mustaching, I think he is, you know, big in the culture.
Yeah.
But I was like, I could not believe it because like the guy who came up to me, like, he had an impressive mustache, but it looked almost exactly like mine, but just like gray.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah. But about the exact same size and stuff like that. I'll see if I can find the picture and we can like maybe show it right here. I was floored. I couldn't believe that he knew that guy. And I was like, wait, are you a hokey or, you know, then he sent me another picture and he said like, that he lived in like North Carolina, but, he had also like, I guess I'm not sure. I'm trying to figure out how this connected to it, but that he had jumped with the Golden Eagles last year as well. Like, so before the Tech game, it was I guess in celebration of like Veterans Day, which is today now.
Right.
They had like the Golden Eagles do a flyover and they're like a parachuting group.
Right. And they'd sort of like instead of like your traditional like, you know, like bomber flyover or whatever that would happen, these guys all jumped out and, you know, then like pulled their chutes and like landed on the field.
Yeah,
and they had like big smoke rings,
smoke
coming
trails
out of them
and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was really cool. That was a really fun way for the game to like, you know, kick off and things. And everyone seemed like they loved it because like the whole stadium's watching them like come out of the sky and stuff. That was neat. But yeah, then he sent me a picture and he had like tandem jumped with them last year.
What?
I was like, you have like two separate connections to things that happened in this game to me.
What doors are about to be opened for you by having a mustache, Jay?
So glad you asked, because then he was like, well, hey, just FYI, in case you didn't know, the World Mustache Championships are in Pittsburgh next year from July 3rd to 5th. And he was like, it's super fun. If you want to come, like we can coach you and stuff like that. I was like, what's happening?
What is happening?
And I'm like, I feel like I have a mustache. It's like, you know, it's fun, but is it like, you know, exceptional? I don't know.
Well, I mean, maybe so because like it is, I think one of the things, and this is not to discredit your mustache at all, because I think a lot of people, when they see it, are under the impression that it must have taken you a long time to accomplish.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's been, you know, we're in like November now, so like 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, but that to me, I would have to imagine, based on what people think is happening, like, I think some people would be assuming you're like years into this experience.
Yeah.
I think.
When I'm not, yeah. Look, yeah, I'm certainly like only like, 6 months in to it or whatever. And I do get that feel like people that think it's taken me much, much longer to grow it. So maybe it does take other people a really long time to do it.
Right. And maybe you're just built different.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just, you know, just built different. Yeah. Some people are born with it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing is that some people seem like thankful. Like there's like an attitude of like we all wish. Yes, you're doing it. Thank goodness you're doing it, because we all wish we all were, but you are. And we didn't have the courage, but you did. I know that sounds stupid, but there is like a gratitude to the way people like approach me.
I've witnessed it. Yeah. You know, you're absolutely right. It's just like, yes, thank you. Like for providing this in my day today.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 So that's, you know, I don't know. It was a overall very like great mustache day for old Jay here.
Well, way to go.
Yeah.
So are you going to go to Nationals?
Well, I mean, like the other thing is that our aforementioned tailgate
members, Ross and Emily, now live in Pittsburgh. And so, and ironically, are amongst the few people who seem less up on the mustache.
Oh, no way.
So, of course, I was texting Ross yesterday. I was like, hey, Ross, good news. Mustache championships in Pittsburgh.
And Ross is like, I'm not interested in
this. He's like, so you're keeping it till July then? Oh, that's so funny.
That's amazing.
I know. So maybe I was like, I don't know if anything else will crop because it's obviously 4th of July weekend. So normally that's like a big weekend otherwise. But like also part of me feels like it would just be like hilarious to go have do a mustache competition for which I don't know what you're supposed to do other than be like, here it is.
I know. Like, so I have a friend who in the past couple of years has gotten like very into like bodybuilding.
Yeah.
And, you know, like one of the things that like, you know, whenever you see like the bodybuilders up there and like they're flexing and doing all their like whatevers, it's like, I think it's so easy to look at that experience and just assume that like part of what they've been doing as getting so shreddy and so riptified and stuff is just like flexing in the mirror. And it's like, these are my favorite flexes to show off my muscles. But like posing is like a whole aspect of the sport. And
right.
So like my friend who got really into it is like, you know, he actually has a coach now who like advises him on like how to position like, you know, each of like your hands and like the ways in which you like kind of like warm up the muscles and like, you know, like to actually like go through the process so that like when you're on stage, you're doing like a kind of choreographed performance.
Right. Like I'm sure when you come right on down to it, there's a big difference between like bending your arm 37 degrees versus like 39 degrees or something.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's like what you're actually doing up there. It's like when you go to think about it, it's like a lot more challenging. There's a lot more involved than like initially meets the eye. So
right.
Like when you said like this guy was like, yeah, we're, you know, we can coach you and you know, like whatever. It's like I'm so curious to know what type of coaching would be involved here. Like,
oh, I know,
you know, like, well, yeah. Cause like what is happening?
I know. I'm like, what, like how to style it? Is there like a kind of presentation you're supposed to do? You have to say something? Do you like, you know, do something with your face? I don't know.
Yeah, right. You know? Yeah. It's like, give us your best like mustache look.
I know. I'm like, I don't know. They're just like,
aha! Oh, good. Oh, yeah. Work it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. Yep. So, but it is on my radar as like it feels like it would be a fun life experience to have.
Yes. Yes.
Because then you could tell people like, yeah, I competed in nationals at mustache. So.
Right. That's. I mean, it's like an immediate defense, like to where if, like anybody who's like, you know, it's like I'm not sure if I'm up on the mustache. It's like It is decidedly that is it is objectively cool. So your subjective opinion, you can keep to yourself.
I know. Can you imagine? Like, imagine like winning something too.
Right.
Be
right.
I'm, you know, have whatever opinion you want, but to the greater world, this is a literal award-winning mustache.
Right. Okay? Peer reviewed,
judged in front of a national, you know, competition.
Yeah.
So I have no idea. I think it would be fun. Part of me is like, it's July 4th, so that's like a trickier weekend. Maybe not. But it's just what we do.
Right.
And the last time I was in Pittsburgh for a different ridiculous, you know, competition, I had a lot of fun. So
yeah, Pokemon Regionals.
Yeah, Pokemon Regionals. Great time. Great
Plus,
time.
If I remember correctly, you also ate a steak and a sandwich.
Yeah, I had a very good steak and had an extremely good sandwich, which that was fun. And
you love Pittsburgh.
I mean, maybe. That said, the Pittsburgh Steelers did beat the Washington Commanders by a single point this past weekend.
Ugh, so close.
But I'll tell you what. The Commanders have two losses now to the Ravens and the Steelers, so screw the AFC North. But it has felt like... Having those losses this year feels so much better than the traditional Commanders loss.
The way.
Which is like they are like losing in winning fashion, if that makes sense.
Like, it makes sense.
They are dead close games. It was clearly anybody's game. It feels very much like if the two teams played each other, they'd each win 5.
Maybe with the Ravens, they'd win like seven because they're really good.
They are really good. Yeah.
But yeah, it's like you lost, but like you're not in like doubt, like, oh no, we're going downhill. Like, you know, anyone watching that game would be like, that could have gone either way.
It could have.
It could have gone either way. No one's worried about the Commanders. They're still doing great. And it's like when you have like a, it also feels like a, when you have like a good winning record, it's like, well, you're not going to win them all. You know, that's the other thing. It's like, how many teams have ever been undefeated getting to the Super Bowl? Like literally one.
And they didn't win.
Well, no, sorry. Two teams have been undefeated going into the Super Bowl. One of those two teams won the Super Bowl.
Which one is that?
Which was the Miami Dolphins.
With
Dan Marino.
Okay.
Yeah, and then Tom Brady made it to the Super Bowl undefeated and then lost to the Giants.
Yeah. That's your history lesson.
That's your history lesson for undefeated teams in the Super Bowl.
There you go. Yeah. Everybody was like dying to know. It's like, how did this great mustache conversation turn into a sports conversation? Well, you know,
this goes. So yeah, I don't love the Pittsburgh Steelers by any stretch of the imagination. But the time I went to Pittsburgh, it was fun.
You're already counting the next
time. I'm already
time.
Counting the next time.
That's a Freudian slip right there. It's like, oh, you're going.
Oh, we're
you're
going. Come on, kids.
Yeah, okay, yeah, okay.
It's gonna be a great time. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Y'all, we look and look and look every year for the perfect gift for our loved ones. Like, what do they need? What do they actually use? What is the gift that will keep on giving? Well, look no further than Rosetta Stone. Not only do they provide a lifetime membership of language learning, but learning a new language unlocks entire new regions of the world for fresh exploration and ways to expand your mind, not just through learning, but also through new people and cultures. Rosetta Stone is designed for fast language acquisition. It uses intuitive processes meant to help you pick up language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. And before you know it, you'll be able to listen and think in a new language. Like, I can't even comprehend that. It's just, that sounds awesome. But so if you need a gift idea or a last minute gift, give your family and friends the gift of language. You can get 50% off all 25 languages for a lifetime and no shipping fees. Give the gift that keeps on giving. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Today, Popcorn Culture listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today for yourself or as a gift that keeps giving.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all, working with your older brother can come with challenges. For one, I constantly have all of these brand new ideas that could change the world, like a podcast called Uneven Diagrams, where we discuss unusual overlapping interests like competitive origami and blindfolded bowling. But oftentimes when you come up with these brilliant ideas, you're met with a kind of, sure, that's the best thing I've ever heard, but where to even start level retort. The nerve of some people. Am I right? The good news is I've learned the ultimate solution to getting your new business endeavor off the ground in no time flat, and that is Shopify. Shopify is seriously a secret weapon for launching a new business or taking your existing business to the next level by unlocking a whole world of potential customers. Shopify actually has this amazing heat map of the globe that shows you everywhere in the world that you currently have an active session. It's no secret. Businesses that want to grow, grow with Shopify. So upgrade your business to get the same checkout that we use with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Again, go to shopify.com/poppop to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/poppop.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so in other Jay-related extreme hobby news, I feel like you've got your mustache, I think you very notably also got your Pluto pins, which I think took a tremendous step forward over the weekend.
They did. And it came with, like, a weird, like inner peace moment, if you will. Ooh. Not to get too deep with the Pluto pins.
No, I think you should make it as deep as you are possibly capable of making it. All right, I'll try. Yeah.
So, a while ago, to bring you up to speed, listener, for a long time we've been collecting the Pluto pins, like Pluto from Walt Disney World. Not the planet Pluto.
I thought, yeah. I'm just kidding, I know.
Or the god Pluto. There's a huge pin collection out there. Pluto, the dog, pins. And like I started out and, you know, we went to Disney, we first did it, we had this tiny little pin board, and I thought it would take, you know, years to fill up that tiny little pin board, but I was wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I underestimated how big a haul I might get from the very next trip to Disney, which quickly outpaced that board, and I had to upgrade. And then I was like, okay, now we have enough space. It'll probably be a while. Wrong again. Quickly outgrew that board. Got a bigger one, shaped like Mickey Mouse now. And again, filled it up. And that was like, we came back from tour and me and you had gone to Disneyland, and that one day generated like 13 new pins. So I had like 13 pins. I had nowhere to put them.
Jay, I think you are like effortlessly too good at your hobbies.
Well, I mean, it's not that I put zero effort into it.
I mean, not that you're putting zero effort into it, but I mean, it just seems like what you've done is like you focused on like a couple of things over the past couple of years and both of them are going exceedingly well.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm so excited for JD War when we go to see what else I could gather up.
Jay's like, what else can I do?
Let's
bring
go.
Him in, bring him in.
I know. It is like, it is such a new fun part of the experience of going to Disney World is the Pluto pins. But so I had an idea because I was like, I need another new board to go here, but I've run out of like whimsical Disney shapes that are going to fit in this wall space. But the other thing I've always wanted to do when we go to Disney World is they always have those like art gallery shops that have just like the coolest art in them that are often just like stupid expensive. And like, I'll look there and I will walk in like, I'm going to talk myself into something. I'm just going to do it. Like, I'm going to do it.
Yes. I mean, there is like one particular painter that I feel like you and I discovered very early on when we started like our adult Disney going experiences, Will Gay. And he has this like style of art. I think he does parks specific stuff.
Yeah.
But like I, both of us love it.
Yeah. It's so good. It's so good.
And I want to say that the first piece we ever encountered, I want to say was like $3,500.
It was something outrageous. It was like Mickey and I think it was Pluto. Mickey and Pluto in like a hot air balloon or something.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fantastic.
And I was like obsessed with it. And it was
$3,500 for the original painting.
For the one that he did. Yeah. The original.
There's like prints you can get.
Right. And it was like one of those things where it was like, I mean, that is like a huge amount of money. Yeah, yeah. And it's like, I was like looking at it and I was like, you know, like I can't. Like,
right.
It would be like, I can't. And it's like, you know, you walked away from it. And then as time has gone on, I feel like every other piece of Disney art that I have subsequently found has gone up in price by such drastic margins like that. I go back to that scene in my head and I'm like, we should have done it. Like we were at the art festival thing at Disney, like either a year ago or 2 years ago. And I remember walking through and they had one of the original, paintings that was done, for the Mandalorian, like at the end of the episode, where they show all the artwork. Yes. And I want to say that was like $12,000.
Oh my God.
And I mean, it wasn't even that big. I mean, it was like maybe like, I don't know, 30 inches by whatever is the appropriate dimension. So yeah, like not even like 3 feet wide.
Okay,
but
yeah.
I mean, it's a decent size, but not huge or anything. But yeah, it's like, what? No, I mean, and not to say it's not worth it. I mean, it's an amazing piece of art.
Right.
And history.
On this exact note, for
I just can't afford it.
I know. For in The Name of the Wind, if you get the illustrated edition, there are these amazing pencil drawings.
There are, yes.
And for a while, I don't like you could go buy the original pencil drawings.
Yes.
Like you could get prints of them, but like the original ones were still there, like 10 years after the fact or something.
Right.
And it was like like I would hover over it. I would hover over it. And like literally like 2 weeks ago, I was like, screw it. I'm just, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to pull the trigger. It's going to arrive. I'm going to surprise Ben. And it's just good. Like, we'll just have it. And like, we won't regret it. Like, it will be cool.
You're killing me right now. What happened?
I couldn't find it.
What?
I couldn't find them anymore. I was like, where'd they go? Like, what happened? Like, did they all get bought or did like they just stop selling them or whatever? Like, I don't know.
I mean, legit may have cried.
I know.
Because it was like, we were looking at them and I was like, these are so cool.
I know. And they were like, they were like right on that blurry line of like, yes, expensive, but not like, but not like.
To have like the original, I mean, this would be like the type of thing like where, I mean, it would, it's obviously so far in the future, but like, you know, if you could have gotten like an early piece of like original Harry Potter art.
If someone, yeah, I mean, like, if like, yeah, like if someone was like, this is the original drawing that got put on the cover of the Sorcerer's Stone. Like, that's like,
you know, I mean, that is priceless.
That is priceless. That is worth an outrageous sum of money.
Yeah.
But that's not even the reason to get it. Like, I mean, it's just like the, we love this thing so much. And that's the original, that's from, I mean, it's from the illustrated edition. So it wasn't in like the book.
The book.
Or the
book,
original book. But like, it's still here now.
It's still here now.
Still here now. And it is part of the illustrated edition. And it's just super cool. And it's very niche anyway. And, but yeah. So if and we can find it again.
Maybe so, yeah.
Maybe so.
Maybe we hover on that shopping cart button.
Maybe we hover on that shopping cart button. Yeah. But so anyway, all of that to say that whenever I go in those Disney shops, like I really want, I'm always like, I'm going to find, like, I'm really hoping I'm going to find like just the right one that's like, it is like something I'm interested in and it's not like too gaudy or tacky. It is like what, it is like, it is appealing to me. And for some reason, the price is like within reason.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, and I'm always like, that's going to happen this time for sure. And it just never does. And but I also never had like much direction for it either. I was just like wandering around. Maybe something will pique my interest.
Right. But, right.
So this time I was like, okay, I have a new idea here. I want to get like a big, like bulletin board style thing, like cork board to put pins in. But then I want to get that framed and then I want to cut out the middle and in the middle put a nice piece of like Pluto art and then I can surround that art with all my pins.
Yeah, because then you have like tons of new real estate, but it's also like a focal piece and it like it all sort of like radiates off of one another. You got Pluto right there in the middle.
Yeah, Pluto right there in the middle. And so I started like trying to hunt down like a good like Pluto Disney painting, like an official kind of thing. And I mean, I went through a bazillion different artist websites because I needed it to be like, I wanted it to be like just Pluto, like that to be the focus of it. But then for it to also be like, I needed it to be horizontal for the space it was going into. And like, it couldn't be like so loud that it didn't go with the rest of my house. And I was like, but Pluto's such like a, such a historic character. There must be like endless choices for this.
Sure.
Something will fit the narrative. I found this really cool like pencil drawing one that was like in black and white and I was like, this is it. I found it. But then the only way to buy that was like, it was part of some very specific series where they like intentionally ripped the edges and like it had to come on like a sheet of paper rather than a canvas because of the way they did it.
Okay.
Which meant it had to come pre-framed. And I was like, dang it. This was so annoying. Like I couldn't make it work. And eventually I found just like a very simple one on like Amazon that was like, it's if you took like a single line and somehow drew the whole character without ever putting
it. Yeah. Sort of. I love that. Yeah. It's like, how do they do it?
How do they do it? Yeah. So it was really cool. I settled on that one. It was good. It met the thing. And then I found a really cool bulletin board website that sold like framed bulletin boards. And I needed like a big, like, 36 by 24 one.
Okay.
I was like, this is going to be great. The only potential downside was that the frame I got, it arrived and it was like super big and super nice and like quality. But I was like, okay. It was like, you know, it was semi-expensive, like not like outrageous or anything.
Sure.
But as it was going to be like a focal point of my house and stuff, I was like, I don't even mind. Except that my plan was to like cut a hole in the middle of it, you know?
That is such a, it's like buying something brand new with the intention of like, ripping it apart
yeah.
is such a difficult thing. It's so hard to make that first cut.
It is so hard to make that first cut, especially when it was like pricier than, you know, you might have thought or anything. I say that like it really wasn't outrageous or anything. But I was laboring over this because I've had this idea in my head for like 2 months, and like finally I found the art. I found the frame. I got it in the house, and it was like I have the time to do it. Okay. And I had the Commander's game in the background. I probably spent an hour like doing measurements, trying to figure out the exact center spot on the board
yep.
where it needs to go, because then it's like on canvas. So it's like the corner kind of like might have that weird, like roundy kind of edge that is like, oh, is it going to look weird right here or something? And I finally like drew it all out, and like Beth was taking a nap, and I was like, hey, you got to get up before the kids get up, because I needed to hold the straight edge. She's going to, I'm going to make the cuts.
Okay.
You know, like I only get one shot, you know, I can't mess it up. And I like she, you know, she gets we're doing it. We go all the way around it. We've like stayed perfectly on the lines, and I go to like peel out the center. And what actually comes up is like the top layer of the cork board, which is like, it's not like cork all the way through. It's like a very thin layer of cork, like maybe like 2 millimeters thick or something.
Oh, wow.
So, and the behind that is kind of like, I don't even know how to describe it other than like maybe like super, super like thick cardboard or something.
Okay.
Like really compressed.
It could be like MDF.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but.
Yeah. It's like a particulate. It's almost like if you took like powder and made it into like a really, I don't know. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Maybe that was it. Maybe it was something like that. But it was the kind of thing where it was like I peeled that away, and I hadn't made a layer or anything that I could like nest the art in at all.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, so can I cut this part deeper now? But the answer ended up being like, no, I can't, because this thing is just glued in every way to the piece of wood on the back of the whole thing.
Okay.
And so it was like, this isn't coming up at all. And then it was like, and then Beth was like, well, can we just, you know, hang the print on the bulletin board, basically.
Right.
I was like, well, I guess we're going to have to, because there's no way around it now.
Right. Okay. Like, okay. I see. So instead of it being like inset, it's just going to be like physically like on top.
Right. So instead of being like nested into it, it's just sort of like, like it's just pressed up against it, like fastened to like a bulletin board or whatever. And I was like, well, like, you know, that's what we're going to have to do. But then we do that and, you know, we hold it up, and I was like, this actually just looks fine, you know? Like, I sent you a picture, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah. I had no idea that exactly. this happened. Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't know that wasn't the intended outcome or anything.
Right.
But so I was like, okay, yeah. And then I was very happy with how it looked. And, you know, we'd done such a good job measuring that you couldn't see any of the part that we'd cut out.
Okay.
Even though now in the dead center of this board is just a large, empty rectangle.
Okay. You know? Was it hard to push the pins in?
No.
No. Like, okay, because I would have thought, like, you would need cork all the way for that ease of, like,
yeah, no, it was still fine to push them in.
Okay.
Yep. But so then I was sort of met with this like weird, like, you know, so we put the board in the middle of the frame. We hung the frame on the wall. We got all the pins out, and we like put them all up there. And it was, you know, it looks great. I'm so happy with how it came out. I'm like, I'm in love with it. I just love it. It's this huge, big new feature. And I feel like I had an idea and we executed it, and it was great.
Oh, the best feeling.
Such a good feeling.
Yes.
And I'm like, and there's plenty of room to like add a ton more. Although I'm like, but part of me is like, but it's still like, we could still fill it up, you know?
Right. That was what I thought when you sent it to me. I was like, oh, geez.
Well, we intentionally spaced them out more so that it would look more full.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But
okay.
You could definitely like, you know, nudge them all around a ton to give yourself a lot more real estate.
Okay.
But then I was like thinking about it afterwards, and I was like, well, you know what? Like, if I'd known I wasn't going to be able to cut all the way back and we were just going to hang it on the board, like, I wish I just hadn't cut it at all, you know?
Sure.
Because
yeah.
then, like, you know, I could maybe, you know, if we did get too many pins, that I could get like a smaller piece of art to put in the middle, or I could just take the art off altogether and it could just be the pins or
right.
whatever.
Yep.
And I was like starting to feel bad about that, like just like frustrated. And it's like one of those things where like, I know what's behind the print. I know there's a giant mistake being hidden behind the print.
Right.
And it's like, but I'm also like, but I look at it, you can't see it. You know, you can't see it. And no one is going to know that, and it doesn't matter. And then I was thinking, it was like, and really, this was like, no, you, yes, if you had not cut it, those options would be available to you. But this was the vision. This was the intent.
Right.
Like, you have accomplished what you set out to do, and it's fine, you know? And it, then it was like, and here's the other thing was that if we had gotten it and I had like just tried fixing it, like hanging it on the front first, like if we, you know, if I was like, you know, how does it look if I just hang it on the bulletin board?
Right.
As opposed to carving it out, and I'd like lifted it up and was like, yeah, this is fine. Then I would have also felt upset that I never tried to cut it out.
Right. Yeah. It's like you need the experience of knowing that you gave it like the effort to discover that it wouldn't work, rather than being like, oh, like once it got here, I decided to like, because then you would almost be like, was I just too lazy? Should I have just taken the time to just cut it out? Wouldn't have been that big of a deal.
Right. So, and that I was like, I realized, but I was sort of realizing that I was like I was so frustrated. I was like, if I just don't, then I wouldn't have had to do that. Because I spent like an hour measuring stuff, and then I cut it out for no reason, and now I'm stuck with what I got. And I'm like, no, but if you hadn't done that, you'd have always wanted to do it. And you'd always be upset that it was like pushing out really far from the wall. And it was like, now I have the experience to know exactly why it looks like how it looks. And it's still what I wanted. So like, what am I upset about? And I was like, I would have been upset this way. And now I have that exact result, and I like it. So like, there's no, I don't know, it was very like, it like resolved itself in my brain that like, it doesn't really matter. Like, could there have been some advantages if I had not cut it? Yes, but there would have been this other massive downside. And honestly, I wouldn't have wanted to take advantage of those advantages because this is what I wanted.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So it's like the outcome ultimately got you to exactly where you wanted to be. But it is strange that the path on that journey can almost like impact what your ultimate enjoyment of the finished product ends up being.
Right. Like the only other better case scenario was that if I'd cut it out and it just neatly came out right away.
Right.
But like, then, but that was never going to happen.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to think of like what a good analogy for this is. Like occasionally I think you and I have talked before about like throwing a party and you know, something doesn't arrive on time and you're like, oh, everybody's going to get here and be like, well, where's the chips and salsa? It's like, this is a party, you know, there should be chips and salsa. It's
right.
Like, you knew that there was going to be, so you noticed the lack of chips and salsa, but everybody else getting there is not like, hey, what's up?
Anyone? Right.
Why is your star attraction that you were so excited to share with everybody not here? I can tell something's missing.
And like, you're like, I feel like I've been to parties like that where like the host will be like, I'm so sorry. Like I ordered chips and salsa and they're not here. And you're like, whatever.
It did not occur to me anything was gone.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But you, the party thrower is like my X factor. Chips and salsa. Everybody was going to want it. It was going to be a huge hit.
It was going to be a huge hit. This whole part. It was like, it was part of the reason I didn't even want to throw the party. You know, I was like,
I know.
Just whatever. It's like, everyone's having a good time, dude. It's cool. It's fine. We're good.
We're good. Yeah. People are having a great time.
So anyway, yeah, the Pluto bulletin board is up. The pins are on it. I love it. And yeah, good project for the weekend accomplished.
I love it.
Yeah. Thank you.
I love it. Yeah. That's so well done. I'm literally like, as I've been sitting here and as you were talking, I was like just in awe of the way in which you hobby. Like, because I'm like, I am not sure that I have any hobbies that I am currently doing a good job of giving their proper attention to.
Oh.
And I'm like, in the meantime, I'm like, yeah, Jay has gone to like regional tournaments for Pokemon and has like a massive collection of cards, and he's, you know, being recruited by mustachioed wizards of the world over.
I wouldn't even have thought of a mustache as a hobby, but maybe it's more of a hobby than I realized.
I think it is. Yeah. I think it is. And then, you know, you've got these Pluto pins from all over. Yep. I mean, you're killing it.
Well, I had gardening stuff this weekend too.
Well, lay it on me.
I know. Here we go.
What happened with the garden? Huge update?
I mean, a little bit. I didn't get a flamethrower, if you're wondering.
People were. Yeah.
No,
a big curiosity there.
I don't know if we recouped. I think it was on After the Final Pot that I did not get a flamethrower, but what I did get was a metal rake.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Spicy.
Dang.
Spicy. So yeah,
really expanding the tool shed over there, aren't you?
I was very excited about the metal rake.
Yeah, I mean, as you should be.
I know. I got to the checkout counter and I was like, I put it up there. The lady behind the counter was like, oh, this is a good rake. And I was like, I know, I'm pretty great. And she's like, I'm a bit of a gardening gearhead. And I was like, it's so great when you get a new thing for your collection. She's, you know. No.
Did we just become best friends?
Basically. She's like, well, you're going to love this rank. And I was like, yeah, I think I am. And it did exactly what I needed to do. It was basically just clear out the weeds in the area where I was going to plant some garlic.
Amazing.
Yeah. So the garlic is a plant that you actually typically plant in like October and November, and then it's ready by like July.
Okay.
Or so. And so I went through and I cleared out a big space of my garden, which has just been dormant for so long now, just so sadly. And I got 6 garlic bulbs worth of planting, which if you don't know how garlic is planted, the bulb you buy at the store and then you like peel off a clove, you just plant the cloves and that grows into garlic.
Oh, hey, that's kind of nice.
There you go. I think you can use the ones from the store, but like they recommend that like just buy like garlic bulbs specifically for planting because they won't have any like sprays or anything on them or
okay.
Whatever. It probably would have worked, but I went way out of my way to get 6 garlic bulbs for planting.
So you're going to have like heirloom grade.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love it. I can't wait. I want in on some of this garlic when it blooms.
Yeah, I guess so.
How does garlic even grow? Is it above ground, below ground?
It grows below ground, kind of like an onion.
Okay.
And then it has these big stalks, and like when they fall over, that's when they're ready to harvest.
Nice.
But they're also kind of like onions in that like if you don't harvest them, they'll just like be down there.
Until you need them.
Until you need them, yeah.
Yeah, go scoop them up.
Yeah. At least that's how I understand it at the moment. So I went out and I pulled apart my 6 cloves, and I had 71 cloves of individual cloves.
Holy butt.
I know. So I if they all grow, I will have 71 heads of garlic.
And exactly 0 vampire attacks.
And exactly 0 vampire attacks. But yeah, so it's like it's so funny because like garlic is, you know, great for cooking and vampires, obviously.
Yeah, naturally.
And, you know, all that. And I am excited to have it for the cooking and eating purposes. But my real motivation behind the garlic is the stink cloud, as it were.
Okay.
Which is to say that, like, humans can't smell it or anything. Or maybe we can. Maybe we will. I don't mind. No, people normally like the smell of garlic.
Yeah, I don't mind it at all.
Not
like
on people's breath. But in if it's, like, cooking, it's like, amazing.
garlic?
But who doesn't like it is deer and rabbits. Deer and rabbits. Yeah. So part of me is like, I'm just going to keep the garlic in the ground a long time. And maybe I'll harvest some, but hopefully this keeps some stuff away.
Yeah.
But like this is like a weird like defense I'm having to plant now for the future.
Defense.
Yeah.
The fence.
The stink fence.
The stink fence.
In addition to the actual fence we're going to build next year.
Man, okay. Well, this is, it's thrilling because I feel like we've had an entire year's worth of garden updates. And now we're really setting people up for like an end of season finale.
Yeah.
You know, like people are like on the edge of their seats out there just being like, well, what's going to happen next? Is it going to work?
Yeah.
Tune in next time.
I know.
You know, to discover.
On the thrilling gardening hour. Yeah.
With Jay Carlin.
With Jay Carlin. What's going to happen? Will the garlic bloom?
Only one way to find out.
Only one way to find out, indeed. Oh, man. So, yeah, I am. I think that'll be fun. Or it won't, and it won't grow, and I'll have done something wrong, and it'll be the total bummer. But, you know, the kids were out there with me. Nate helped me primarily. I felt bad for them because, like, you just have to do these little, like, 2-inch holes. But the ground was pretty hard, and, like, all the way in which all of them wanted to help was the exact same, which is, can I dig the holes?
Yeah.
And it was like, no. I got to dig 71 of these holes, and, they're just not, like, even heavy enough to push the shovel into the dirt to dig the hole.
Man.
At all. And I was like, I'm sorry, no, you can help me in any other way. You can put the bulb in there, you can peel the garlic apart, but I will be digging the holes. Like, I'm sorry, like, we just, yeah, that's where we're at.
So you dug 71 holes over the weekend.
Yeah, tiny holes.
Tiny holes.
Yep.
Man.
They're all going, oh, we'll see. And then thankfully, it was like God was smiling on me. It rained right afterwards, and I was like, ha, sweet November rain.
Band name called it.
Not unlike mostly bags of garbage, which I had Mid Journey draw some logos for mostly bags of garbage.
Mostly bags of garbage. Can I see our new rock ensemble?
There you go. That was the one I liked the most.
Oh my goodness.
Mostly bags of garbage. It looks sort of like a garbage bag full of leaves, but also it's a jack-o'-lantern.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. So. So now all we have to do is learn how to play instruments and find other bandmates.
Yeah.
And then maybe choose 2 years after that, we'll officially be booking our first shows.
We'll be ripping it up that we can open for ourselves on Through the Griffin Tour.
Dude, that would be so much fun.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
We're like, we are Mostly Bags of Garbage. This is Through the Griffin Tour.
Yeah. You know how you have a rock opener for your podcast?
Yeah. Yeah. We're eclectic like that.
Everyone has like a mosh pit. And it's like, everyone sit down and pull out your books and turn to chapter 16 and let's go.
Right. Yes. Yes. And then afterwards, of course, we have the special VIP upgrade where you can have the gardening hour with Jay. Exactly. It's a PowerPoint presentation. Followed by flamethrowers.
Exactly. Yeah. The best live show in America.
And then after that, you can go out and split wood with Ben in the back.
It's going to be a fun night. It's going to be a fun night for everyone. We're going to be hauling lumber all over America.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, naturally.
Yeah.
We're going to need a bigger truck.
Yep. Yep. There you go. So that was, like the majority of my hobbies for the weekend. I hit like basically all of them, as far as I can tell. We had Hokies, we had gardening, we had pins, we had mustache. You know, I also watched a Celtics game.
And a Commanders game.
So like I was firing on all cylinders, basically. I didn't play any card games other than like Marvel Snap, but I still played some of that too. So all around good times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm very impressed. I'm very proud of you.
I
feel like here lately we've been talking a lot about sort of like that, the difficulty or the challenge associated with like making time for yourself. And I think you in particular, this has like been a piece of advice that like, I think me and Beth and possibly your therapist were all like, hey, you need to make more time for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone kept telling me that.
And, and look at you. You did it.
Doing it.
You did it.
Doing it.
Can I get a pound it?
Boom. Boom. There we go. We're doing it. And then otherwise it was just like getting like, even just getting regular chores around the house done. I was like, I'm being so productive today. Yeah. So good stuff. Good stuff.
Good stuff indeed. Well, there you go, guys. Another exciting episode of The Pop, I think.
Yeah.
We got the latest rundown on all of Jay's latest things. I went to the dentist. I mean, you know, it's like, this is the stuff that people are jonesing for it.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Good times.
And you were at the tech game too. You
know? I was there. Yeah. That was fun. As per always, guys, if you'd like to check out that new vinyl record that Jay and I are going to be creating.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're going to be back on vinyl. Actually, I just got a new vinyl record player over the weekend. I was so excited about it. I had gotten Alice Taylor's version of 1989 for Christmas last year.
Booyah.
And then our record player promptly broke, so we never got to listen to it. So,
do you not have a record player anymore?
No, I got a new one.
Oh,
just,
a new
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I got a new, just a brand new one. So perfect timing because we're getting ready to record our new episode of The Pop.
Yeah.
Which is going to be so much fun. It's going to be available only on vinyl, but you can check it out at patreon.com/popcornculture. Also, we have that pop duck t-shirt available over at Carlin Brothers Mercantile, which I think is going to be it's a good one for, you know, for the holidays.
Yeah,
a great gift. It's on one of our favorite t-shirt blanks, which is just a very comfortable t-shirt.
It is
it's a nice green color.
Yeah,
I feel like it's got great GMA vibes to it.
Yeah. Great GMA vibes. It's got popcorn. It's got ducks. It's everything you can want in a t-shirt and more.
And more.
And more. And more.
But otherwise, guys, until next time.
Pop, pop. Duck, duck.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager. And the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context and tab switching that drains employee focus and costs your company. Grammarly can help. Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to write clearly and on brand without disrupting workflow. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more.
Super Carlin Brothers is sponsored by Nude. Y'all, of course, know about my podcasting and YouTube endeavors, and you may even know that I do some aquarium maintenance at times, but you may not be aware that my wife, Alice, and I also own a business together called Nude. I know it's a funny name, but there's actually a fun story behind it. See, Alice has always had a deep love for clothing
clothing and fashion, but even more so for thrifting. It was her way to sustainably and economically expand her wardrobe while still aiming for quality brands that would last. And she is really good at it. Like, I can't tell you the number of times over the years that she has been stopped by people admiring her finds. So much so that she coined a phrase for her response. Thanks, it's nude. As in new, but in the past tense, because it's not exactly new, it's nude. So we took this concept and created a storefront not 100 yards from where Super Carlin Brothers was created and have an online shop featuring pre-loved clothing from brands like Lululemon, Free People, Anthropologie, Madewell, and so many more. If you'd like to check it out for yourself to ring in the nude year, if you will, you can do so at nudesalem.com and use promo code SUPER to get 20% off your entire order. That's NEWDSalem.com, promo code SUPER for 20% off.